hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong from the studios here in big time Crowley, Texas. Sitting at a table with a bunch of beautiful women, and it's really cool to be me today. Guys, this is episode number 36. And guys, we're going to be looking at a whole bunch of really cool things, including this. I've got a video I want to show you right off the bat. And I want to show you how conditioned we are towards the reality of portals today. Guys, watch this video.
Want to get away? Well, you really can now.
To a different country, in fact. It's possible in a way right here in Flatiron. There's a portal where you can see Dublin, Ireland in real time, and they can see you too. Mm-hmm. They kicked things off with a dance contest earlier today. How did we miss that? The artist behind the portal hopes to bring people together, even if it's from across the globe. Now, the Dublin portal faces
the capital's
Main Street, O'Connell Street. Now, the portal will be there until this fall.
What happens if you try to step into the portal?
Well, you could pass a plane back.
So what happens? So, Connie, yes, they've already arrested the Irish woman who showed up naked in front of it.
Since then, there's been a lot of those kinds of incidents, mostly in Ireland, but some in New York as well.
It's like, okay, so there will be a problem if it's just out in public, because people don't have any self-control, and they're all stupid now, and it's all kinds of craziness going on. But that's pretty cool, though, to be able to see in real time, live, a bunch of people on the other side of the world, and they call it a portal. Mm-hmm. And what's real is, man, our entire society is now speaking the language of portals because it's becoming a very real and present reality. And someday that will be blamed on the rapture of the church.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Not very far off from now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Yes.
Come quickly.
There's all kinds of portals, man. Then there's places where there are portals, both heavenly and not so heavenly, where all kinds of stuff is being opened up. And CERN believes it. I promise you, they believe in it.
They sure do.
And anyway, we'll end up talking about that. But guys, I want to just invite you, wherever you're at, just like my friend in South Africa just now saw, I see another one. Mark Erkstein is also in South Africa. I see people. Jill Jones Jacobs from Joshua, Texas is here. Big time Joshuaite. This is how you know when people are from Joshua, and when they go around talking to everybody like they're running for mayor and they're a little bit drunk. That's how you know that they're from Joshua. Anyway, I didn't even know she was a Joshua girl until Sunday after church.
Guilty.
It's like, it's like, okay. And then, you know what? All these other people that are all over the planet Earth, please let us know where it is that you're watching from and say, hey, I'm watching from here. And because, guys, we go through all those comments. And then for all my friends that are on ODX.TV, guys, we'll be hanging on with you after we go behind the veil and we stop going through all of our social media that could otherwise get us censored. And man, you don't want to miss a minute of today, because with me is my lovely and beautiful bride, Pastor Leanna Brewer. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Hello, everybody.
Wearing her super hot overalls that I love. That's my girl. Right on. And you know what, Leanna, we've had an incredible week this week, haven't we?
It's been really good. It's been really, really good.
It's been a good one, man. And last night we met with over 300 volunteers that volunteered at Open Door Church.
Yes, that was so cool to see everybody.
And we had a big hootenanny in here. You're wearing one of the hats we gave away last night, which I didn't even get one.
I have an extra one.
Okay.
I'll give it to you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're back in the wheel. That's very important. Anyway, Leanna, you know, I was so excited about the babies that we rescued this last week, because Swanami got back from down there on the Amazon, and we rescued a bunch of babies while we were down there. And then we rescued the girls that had the babies, because they're actually babies. They were 13 and 14 year old girls. And they all had babies. One of them had a 2 year old child. A 13 year old girl had a 2 year old child. And then all these guys, man, guys, we got all those things. And by the way, I'm looking at an Aussie Christian here, Ross. Hey, man, it's good to see you out in Australia. All those girls are girls that we rescued last week, except for Maeli, the one that's in the pink shorts there. And the little girl in the orange shorts there at the beginning. Well, we all know who that is. It's Franciella. It's a year this next month in June that we re-rescued her from the cartel that came and stole her. Jesus. Pretty daggum crazy. It's already been a year. But anyway, all of those girls are girls that we rescued, and we rescued their babies. And, you know, the other girls are pregnant or they already have babies, and we got all of them last week. And that's pretty daggum cool. Guys, all you guys that are a part of ODX.TV and everybody that supports Troy Brewer Ministries, I promise you, that, man, you are part of that. And every day I am hearing some story from somewhere, you know, on the planet Earth. Leanna, you guys rescued a baby in Uganda last weekend.
We did. Number 77.
Number 77.
Abigail.
Miss Abigail. And yes, we rescued her. And I think that we have a picture of her. I think we do. Do we have a picture of her, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. Did y'all not get her that picture? There you go. Awesome. So that's her. That's her. She's like,
I love her.
She's like, just feed me. Yep, we're feeding her. And then, you know, that's her after we got her cleaned up a little bit. And look how daggum pretty she is.
She is beautiful.
I love her. Oh, I love her so much. And so rescued from certain death. And then what we found out was, because she's actually a four-month-old baby. And you can see, man, she doesn't weigh very much. And she's a little bitty thing. And she's 4 months old. And then we found out, we tracked down... we actually had the local police to do an investigation, which we encouraged them to do that. They did the investigation. They tracked down the mama that had dropped her, and we found out she is a 16 or 17-year-old girl. I actually don't remember.
She's 17.
She's 17 years old, who needs to be rescued herself.
Yes, she did.
So in the Amazon, we rescued these girls, and therefore doing that, we rescued their babies. And then in Uganda last week, we rescued a baby, and thereby doing that, we rescued the mama.
Mm. Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege.
It is privilege. Jesus. Man, it's a big deal, y'all.
It is a big deal.
It's a really big deal. So, Leanna, and then yesterday morning... Me and you, man, we were sitting out on the porch and we're minding our own daggum business. You know, and this is the problem with having your kids that live next door to you. They'll come walking in early in the morning. You know, I'm still, to be very honest, I'm sitting out there on the back porch in my drawers. I live out in the country and we can do that. Okay. And I mean, we live way out and I'm out there minding my own business. The door opens up and in comes Ben and he's walking in and he's carrying that.
Oh, isn't she
beautiful? Yeah, we rescued that baby yesterday.
She's so beautiful.
And so there's
Bambi.
It's pretty daggum cool.
Yeah.
So we got this baby. They come walking in and we're like, you got to be kidding me. And so, Ben, where did you find this baby at yesterday?
Well, so I was driving up to your house, and right over to the side, right off your driveway, there was actually, it was laying there. And to be honest, I thought it was dead because it wasn't moving, nothing else. So I walked over to it to go take care of what I needed to take care of. And I looked because it was covered in ants and everything else. And I was like, okay, yeah, I should probably get rid of this before the kids see it or anything else like that. And as soon as I grabbed it, it opened up his eyes and looked at me, and then it ran off. I was like, oh.
I can't imagine the horror that
not
poor fawn's mind of what. I never even imagined such a thing.
So and then it took like 2 or 3 steps, and it fell down because it had been stung so many times. It was about to die, but I got it. I took all the ants off of it, and
got her going again.
Yeah, got her going again.
Well, there you go, man. Yeah, so it's a good day. So it's been a week of rescuing babies.
It has been.
Yes.
That was a pretty cool day.
That was a pretty cool day.
Yep. You like that kind of stuff.
Oh, I do. I do. Love my babies.
I do too. I need an armadillo. Just for the record.
Oh my gosh, that would be awesome.
I want my own armadillo.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I need a baby armadillo that I take around. It travels with me everywhere we go. I'm going to name him Speed Bump. That's what I'm going to name him. That's been my dream to have a baby armadillo.
You know, I was in South Korea last week, and at one of the hotels, it said pets welcome, but then it had a clause underneath it that specified cats and dogs only.
Yes.
And I thought, why would they do that? And I thought, oh, it's for people like Troy that would bring an armadillo with them.
Well, it's a support animal. That's all you have to say to get away with carrying your stupid animal all over the planet Earth is just declare it's my emotional support animal, and I must have him. It must get on the airplane with me. You know, this is my armadillo, and I need it for emotional support because I don't have the power of God or any sense whatsoever. So I had to carry around.
Hey, I have an emotional support dog. Leave him alone. I love him.
Louis.
He's cute.
Louis Vuitton. Very expensive and at the same time worthless. That's why I named him Louis Vuitton.
He is so not worthless. He's the cutest thing ever.
Okay, so
he
is cute. So here in just a minute, we're actually, you and I, we're going to talk about Well, we have Mother's Day, and we're going to talk about the mamas that are in the bloodline of King Jesus.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about your trip to where you were last week. Where were you?
South Korea.
I was just going to say away from me.
Yes, away from you. That's where I was.
Oh, it was terrible.
And, you had my emotional support dog with you, so you were
How was that?
He's William a train Bear. Wreck. Good? Yeah. He's a train wreck, man.
Hey, William Bear says he wants an orangutan.
Oh, that would be cool.
No, man.
Yes, that would be cool. I love orangutans.
Belinda says Willie Nelson has an armadillo, but it's stuffed, apparently. You know, that's pretty cool. KG says she thinks all animals are emotional support in some way. There you go. Yeah. Okay. Well, and then we went through the horror and the trauma of Shere Khan died yesterday.
Oh.
Rayma's cat.
Oh,
Shere Khan.
Really? I remember that.
And there's been wailing and gnashing of teeth because the neighbor's emotional support animal, a dog, got a hold of Rayma's emotional support animal, the cat. And you know, she was telling me this morning, she was crying about it. And I said, so Shere Khan did not pick that fight? He said, no, daddy, he was minding his own business. I said, well, baby, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a cat soweth, that shall he also reap.
You are no help.
That was so funny.
I'm going to, hey, Taylor.
KG, I do see you, and I love you. I think you're awesome.
I have a video I'm texting it to you, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to show it. I'll show you really quick.
No, I need to see this.
Well, Rayma's had Shere Khan for like 12
years now.
Dude. So me and Leanna watch those kind of funny videos constantly.
I know.
That's all we do. They are funny.
So cute.
All right. Well, join me directly across from Miss Leanna is a lovely and gracious Miss Rebecca, sporting a brand new open door church, cool black hat.
It's really comfortable.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, anybody that's a first-time person today on ODX.TV, if you sign up for ODX, either Stage 2 or Stage 3, I'll send you one of our really cool brand-new hats.
All right.
With the swag bundle, too.
Oh, swag bundle.
I think we have a graphic for it.
Okay, so tell us what's in here.
So it's a Redeeming Your Timeline card, and then your wonderful declaration. Well,
it is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. One of the it's called The Best of the Brewer. It's a good coffee book, and I love it. And I think this is it a t-shirt?
Yes.
An ODX.TV t-shirt. I don't have one of those. I need one of those.
I have one from the last ODX weekend.
You have to pay. I'm telling you right now.
Okay.
You got to pay.
Well, I will pay.
<That's>, so you sign up. When does anybody have to pay for anything around me? Nobody has to pay for nothing. I'll get you a shirt.
But if you sign up today, then you get this wonderful swag bundle from ODX.TV.
Okay.
So
that's a good move.
Yes.
Okay.
So good.
Hey, man, please do that and stand with us because, guys, we're saying yes to so many things and just believing that the support is going to come in for it. And, I mean, hey, we're going to keep doing it. And in the month of June, which is coming up, guys, we will hit our 11,000th child rescued. 11,000 children. And so, you know, are you kidding me? No. Well, isn't that an exaggeration? Yeah, it is. And it's actually way under what it actually is.
Yeah.
It's actually way under. But we just started counting in 2016 or 2017. I think it was 2017 or I think so. And that's just so this 11,000 kids are from 2016. That's easy. And we were doing this. The first person we ever rescued, The baby I found in the dump in Matamoros, I think that was probably...
It wasn't the first. It was the two teenage girls that we took into our house.
Oh, the two teenage girls, which that was like second year we were married.
Yes. Wow.
And we were married in 89. So that was like 1990. And then those two little girls in Costa Rica, the first two that I ever bought in a trash dump. And then Brother Colin, which I think was 1995.
Yes,
so there's really no telling how many kids we've actually rescued.
It's a bunch.
It's a bunch, and it's a great big blessing. So guys, stand with us. You can go to odx.tv, and you can support this. And if you give $55 or more today, what will they get?
So you'll be receiving a Redeeming My Timeline. We don't have a graphic for it, but you could see it right here. This is a declaration, powerful declarations for breakthrough of healing, past hurts, and provision, and invite Jesus into your timeline.
Okay.
And also,
you can show them that.
This is a declaration card. I love these because there is something for anything that you're going through. There's a finance one. There is a healing one. And I love this. And this is redeeming your timeline with scriptures. If you're having trouble finding a scripture or hearing, the Lord is speaking through everything, but actual verses that declare of he's redeeming your timeline right now. You want to
Yeah, we also share? Have the book, which I'm signing right mm-hmm. now. I just got through signing this. I have the book mm-hmm. and then I also have the workbook that goes with this. Because see, whenever Jesus shows up in your life, he doesn't just give you a new future. Mm-hmm. He also creates a new history.
Amen.
Yes.
And that is so important to understand the redemptive power of the Lord is so powerful that not only can he give you a new future, but he can also give you a new history. And that is so real, guys.
Amen.
And people are using this and they're being set free all over the planet Earth. I'm going to send that to you absolutely free today if you support us for at least $55
or more. Mm-hmm.
Come on. And then sitting directly across from me, from parts unknown, is Miss Connie Jenkins. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, everybody.
Yep.
Yes.
So me and you, we share a lot of the same podcasts, and we've been sharing true, what is it? It's
Legends of the West.
Yeah, Legends of the Old West. And then with that also comes Notorious America. Mm-hmm. It's a Black Barrel Media production, which does it better than anybody I've ever heard.
They're one of the absolute best.
And I just got through listening to the Bonnie and Clyde series that's on it, and it is incredible. And then before that, we listened to the history of the Mormon Church.
Yes.
And the Mormon Assassin. By the name of, what was his name? Orrin Rockwell.
Rockwell. Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you about, I want to tell you, that guy was an assassin. He killed over 100 people at the whims of Joseph Smith and also at Brigham Young. Mm-hmm. And he was not sorry.
No.
He did it.
In the podcast, they talk about one of his quotes was, "I never killed anyone that didn't need killing."
That's right.
I'm like, I feel like they attribute that quote to a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's actually that guy. It's actually that guy that said,
crazy.
He stood up in a crowd and said, pointed his little finger in a high squeaky voice that says, and he said, his defense was, "I never killed anybody that didn't need killing."
Yes. That's not funny.
No, it's awesome. It's awesome. So I would encourage you guys to do that. Again, Black Barrel Media. There's a free version of it, mm-hmm. and it's got lots of commercials in it. And if you want to get their thing, and I'm just going to go ahead and promote these guys because I can't sell them enough. I think they're awesome. Yeah, I listen to every single thing that they do. Wild Bill Cody and Buffalo Bill, mm-hmm. that whole thing, the thing on Billy the Kid is incredible. If you think that Jesse James was a good guy, you need to hear the true story of what Jesse James was all about. And crazy cool stuff. Anyway, all that stuff, this is stuff that you and I listen to, and I've been going through that. So I'm so grateful. So what do you have today?
Before we move on, we did get that video, the dog video.
Yeah, yeah. So what's up with this dog? Tell me what the setting is of this.
So this dog
Look, she's already laughing.
Is apparently tormented in its own household.
Yep.
But he thought that he would make a final stand against his tormentors. But they decided to teach him a lesson.
Okay, here we go, guys. Let's watch this. So there he is. He's making his stand. Holy Mary. What the?
He got the wrong hood.
He got into the wrong hood.
Oh. That poor dog.
He dared to jump up on the couch where those demon-possessed cats were at.
And I thought of that with...
Shere Khan?
Yes.
Yeah, so in the days of Shere Khan.
I loved Shere Khan. He mm-hmm. loved me.
But no, he loved me too. And he attacked did. Everybody and bit everybody and I he know. Was horrible.
He loved us.
And as I say, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a cat soweth, he shall also reap.
Wow.
Rhema goes, "Daddy, I don't want to hear any jokes right now." She was so sad. And I said, "Well, praise God." That's all I had to say, actually. I am grateful for the neighbor that brought his corpse over and said, "Listen, I'm sorry, but my dog attacked your cat, and I'm very sorry." And I was like, "Listen, that's a good neighbor, because I wouldn't have. I'd have just thrown it over the fence." Right, exactly right. I'd have hit it. Yeah, I said, "I had no idea." But that's the kind of character I have. That's why you can't trust pastors. All right. So
we are talking about motherhood, but like biblical motherhood. And of course, your amazing message Sunday is what kicked this off. And plus, we have the amazing Pastor Liana with us here today.
Thank you.
And so I love hearing from Pastor Liana in YouTube, mm-hmm. but about motherhood, because she is one of the greatest mothers in the world that I know of.
Thank
You preached from 1 Kings 3:16 to 28, and it was the story of the two harlot women that brought a case before King Solomon.
Yep.
And what stood
out? What did you think about that sermon, though?
I thought that was amazing because I'd never heard anyone preach from that scripture or that passage talking about motherhood. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was a genius thing to do. I think that that was so just wise and insightful. And when you mentioned the two women, like the one that King Solomon kept referring to as the one, which mm-hmm. is a name for King
that's
Jesus.
That's right.
Amazing. And then the other woman that he would refer to as the other. Immediately, what I thought of was in Proverbs, which is authored primarily by King Solomon. Mm-hmm. There's the lady wisdom. And then there's the promiscuous woman.
So good.
And so I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like that's a callback mm-hmm. that yep. Solomon was doing between those two. And even though they both came to him as harlots, there was still wisdom that could be drawn out of it. And so then you get Lady Wisdom who cries out in the streets. She's at the gates. But then you have the other woman who does the same type of thing, but you get a completely different result
so
choosing
good.
Wow. what voice you decide to listen to. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I really want to hear y'all's thoughts on that. The other and then or Lady Wisdom and the promiscuous woman.
Mm. Well, I would say part of this, Leanna, is that's important to know is this. Both of those girls had the opportunity to come into the presence of the king.
Yes.
And so they were both there. But one of them stuck to her ground and to her rights, which were not even her rights, and stuck to her character. And the other one gave up her character and gave up her identity, gave up everything that she had for the benefit of somebody else. And they were both in the presence of the king.
It's a heart condition. Your heart is revealed in the presence of the king.
You're so pretty.
Thank you. But your heart is, it is revealed in the presence of the king because light maketh manifest. So whatever is in you is going to come out when you stand before the king. So when we stand before the Lord in the end time, whatever is in us is going to come out. We're not going to be able to talk our way out of anything. It's all going to be revealed. It's all going to be in front of, for everybody to see. And, so these two women, to me, it is just, I'm like you. I loved that you brought it out in a Mother's Day sermon because people overlook that scripture so much. But the one woman that said, let this baby live, she was willing to lay down her life for her child. And that's what a mother does. A mother's willing to lay down everything she has to see her kid have life. The other one was selfish and she was willing to sacrifice her child for her own gain.
Yep. I think the whole thing starts off to me is so cool because it says, and two harlots came and stood before the king. Just that whole thing of what Solomon's palace was like and how the splendor of King Solomon, how beautiful he was, how awesome the whole setting was. And then, okay, two of the worst people from the worst part of society came in with one of the worst situations anybody had ever seen. Just the interruption of the splendor of the king there and how that it doesn't bother him one bit. And then to her horror, he hears her say, okay, bring me a sword. And like, whoa, like if you come before Jesus with all of your junk and all of your trash, and if you're doing that and, yeah, guys, by the way, we're seeing everybody that ODX is down and I know that. I'm talking to these people. I'm not talking to you. You go about your business and work on it. I guess we're seeing everybody say that ODX is down. Don't know why ODX is down today, guys. We're working on it right now, and you guys stick with us. We'll stay. We won't go behind the veil because of that. So you guys just stay there. But I'm sorry about that. Sometimes that happens. By the way, look, baby, there's Frank.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Frank is one of our Ugandan sons.
Yes. And, I'm so proud of him.
Hey, man. Proud of you, Frank. You're killing it, man.
Pastor Frank.
Pastor Frank is a great man of God.
Yes,
and
he is.
We've known him since he's a little boy, and he's killing it, man. Way to go. So anyway, what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by the voices in my head is...
You had mentioned when King Solomon said, bring me a sword.
Yeah, he says, bring me a sword. Man, when you bring your junk to the Lord, and you're like, I hope for a glimmer of just a chance that God will have mercy. And then to your horror, He says, bring me a sword. Jesus brings a sword every time, but it's not what you think.
Right.
Wow.
He brings the word.
Yes.
And he brings truth.
Mm-hmm. And what's so crazy is what's so powerful about this concerning that when Jesus brings a sword is that King Solomon was saying, hey, bring me a sword because he was going to divide the child.
Yes.
But when Jesus brings a sword, he also divides.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
And it's that whole scripture in Hebrews 12.
Come on.
I'll read it really quick. It says, the word of God is powerful, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
That's exactly what was happening
there.
Yes,
that's exactly what played out.
So I mean, he literally is like, I'm going to divide this child, the joint and the marrow of this child, to discern the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. And we're going to show the whole thing.
Wow.
The sword of the word of God, when it shows up, you know, the presence of God, the Bible says, light maketh manifest, right? Light maketh manifest. And whenever God Almighty shows up with his sword, it's something is going to become manifest. Yeah.
Jesus is justice. So when you stand before him, even though people can't give you justice, this world might not give you justice, Jesus will give you justice. And this mama got justice. And she got her son.
Yeah.
And then you don't read about her anymore. You don't read about the ugly that was. Her life had been redeemed in that moment. And she was before the king. And he changes everything.
Amen.
I just love the whole story of that.
What's crazy, too, is that that mean old hag, she was so bitter that her child had died. And she's so out of her tree. She's like, you should have to experience the same pain I have experienced. Yeah, go ahead and cut him in half. I'll take half of him. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's like, okay, how much more ugly can it get than that? Like, okay, hi, I know that you're the most beautiful king anybody's ever seen. This room is the most powerful thing ever. It's incredible. And now I'm coming in here. Everybody knows that we're prostitutes. And I live with this woman. She's so hateful. Her baby died. See, and by the way, she's holding a dead child while the other woman is holding a live child. And how you know that is because he says, take the sword and divide the live child. So that means that the dead child is there as well. Well, this is a horrible display of the worst of humanity.
Yeah.
It's hideous. And here's the king, and the king sees it as an opportunity to show that that prostitute is actual a loving mama girl. And she's never been in a place where she could be the good guy. And now she's being in a place to be the good guy. And only somebody with the sword of the word of God is actually going to bring that. And we're still talking about her today. And you know, and you know what we're talking about her? We're not talking about her that she was a prostitute. We're talking about her that's a mama defined. I mean, he literally said she is the mother. Like that is the definition of a true mama. A mama that's willing to lay down her life, her agenda, no matter how bad she looks, no matter what everybody thinks about her, I've got to see my kid well taken care of. And he said, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Yes,
and
sir.
And that was 3,000 years ago.
And it's just like how God does that with all of us. And you give such a powerful message on Hebrews 11, how there are, like Sarah's mentioned, and she wasn't always faithful. There was Samson who was mentioned, and he didn't finish well. But the Lord redeems their stories, and he does the same with us. And I love seeing that King Solomon saw this absolutely shameful situation, but he brought redemption to it. And now we honor that mother for what she was willing to do. It's just beautiful.
I'm going to get to meet her one of these days.
Yeah, we will.
Someday I'll see her and say, man, I know you. Like, wow. That's incredible.
You know, there's a ministry of being a mother. And a lot of times, you know, if you get the privilege of being a stay-at-home mom, you think, oh, I'm just staying home with the kids. And it can kind of be derogatory of, well, you don't really work, you just stay home with the kids. No, that's a ministry.
Thanks,
your
Skippy.
First ministry is to your kids. Mary's first ministry was to Jesus. And the Lord said, you're blessed. You're blessed beyond all of these women. You're going to be the mother of my child. Wow. What an honor that is to be able to be a mother and to have that as a ministry and to take it serious and realize, wow, God is holding me accountable for this ministry. It's so beautiful. And Mary does it so well. And I know there's so many mothers in the Bible that I look at and go, they are so remarkable. But, you know, just the girls that we rescued down on the Amazon, these little girls, they're little girls. They're preteens. I mean, they're like 12 and 13 years old, and they're mothers. Mm. And they've said, I need someone to help me because I want to be a mother. They're not looking to say, hey, I lost my childhood. I wish I could be a kid. I wish somebody take this baby so that I can be a little girl. They're saying, I'm a mama and my baby needs to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And so when we rescue them, that's the first thing they ask us is, can you take care of my baby? Can you help me take care of my baby? Wow. Yes, of course we can. And yes, of course we will. And so taking them, when we take them shopping and stuff, they're not looking for stuff for themselves. They're like, our babies need diapers. Mm-hmm. Our babies need formula. And it's always, and that's a mama's heart. And you can always see it's always so obvious who has a mama's heart and who doesn't, because it's always their first thing is, take care of my baby. And that's what this lady did. She was like, nope, nope, nope. She can have him. As wretched as she is, she can have him if he can live.
And I love that you mentioned that, Pastor Leanna, because one of my favorite stories from South America is when we rescued Maeli, and we didn't know that she had a baby, but what we didn't know that she was expecting. And then in preparation for her baby coming, she was like, you know what? I'm going to know King Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she got baptized. And that is my absolute favorite, one of my absolute favorite stories from that redemption road trip, because it was so beautiful. And that was a mother's heart. She was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. No, this situation isn't the best.
Right.
But I'm going to know King Jesus, and my baby is going to come into life with a mom who knows and loves Jesus.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I can't imagine being able to make that decision. I think it was 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's remarkable.
If you guys look at the picture of the girls that we rescued last week, there's actually a picture standing there in the midst of them. In pink shorts is Maeli. That's the girl that Leanna rescued and Anna Barbara rescued last year, that 13-year-old girl who ended up having a baby, and she went and got her friends, the girl in the black and white striped outfit, and then the girl in the, I don't know, pumpkin-colored thing. I don't know what that is down there. Right there, but that's...
And Maeli's baby is the one in the red little jumper there.
Little jumper. Mm-hmm.
That's her little baby.
That's Maeli's baby, really?
Yeah, isn't he beautiful?
That's awesome. So anyway, she was rescued last year, and now she's helping us rescue other girls.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, come on, man. That's crazy cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's the word of the Lord. You know what, mamas, listen, your ministry... Your motherhood is a ministry.
Yes,
Jesus is justice. Leanna just said that. She stole that from me, but she just said that.
I'm telepathic.
Actually, no, she comes up with brilliant stuff. She's a smart girl. And I would say this, Jesus is justice. And what I said, how I ended my sermon on Sunday was this: you can count on justice and redemption and vindication from the King. And wisdom on the King's wisdom. Mm-hmm. If you are a selfless mama, you can count on it.
Amen.
And that's the Lord. You know, Bathsheba, which is one of the mamas of King Jesus himself, Bathsheba actually was fighting for Solomon even while Brother David was dying on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. She was standing over here and going, no, 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 we're not finished yet. Solomon, she's fighting for her kid, Solomon, and going, hey, we still got business to do. This has to go down. As soon as you kill over, assassins are going to rise up and kill Solomon. You are still the king. You cannot let that happen. It can't go down like that. And David, literally on his deathbed, was making sure of Solomon's heritage and what it was that he received because his mama was fighting for him. At the deathbed of King David himself.
Wow.
One of my favorite things when researching about Bathsheba and realizing that she had that fight at the end of David's life was realizing that she wasn't just married to one of David's mighty men, but she was actually the daughter of one of his mighty men.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa. So she knew about being a warrior. She knew about standing and fighting. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. Well, actually, her grandfather is Mephibosheth. No, it's not Mephibosheth. It's the council of, Ahithophel. His name is Ahithophel.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So you remember Ahithophel turned against King David And he's Absalom. Like, oh my mm-hmm. gosh, my own familiar friend, like you led me into horrible counsel. Like, why would you do that? Because that's the grandfather of Bathsheba.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, Ahithophel. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, I saw what you did to my son-in-law.
Wow.
I saw what you did. I saw what you did to my granddaughter. I saw. And I ain't going to let it slide. You know, everybody hates Ahithophel because how he turned against King David. But in the humanity of the situation, I don't blame him. Now, I blame him for leaving God in the midst of all that. And he suffers the consequences of that. But I can tell you this right now. You know, he represents Judas in so many different ways in that regard. And he even hung himself.
Yeah.
Just like Judas did. So Judas, my own familiar friend, right? But Ahithophel had good reason to be mad and upset at David because that Bathsheba chick was his granddaughter. Mm. That adds a whole other layer.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's heavy.
It's very heavy. David's life was very complicated in his family life, as everybody's is. And that's why, my friends, you need to know that God does not despise how complicated the layers of your family are. Yeah. And like, you got shameful stuff, man, that you got to bring before the Lord and say, well, I can never find justice because I got all this shameful stuff. Baloney. He is not scared one bit of all your mess. Two prostitutes came to King Solomon in the worst form of humanity that you can imagine. And he still said, I see your heart. Oh man, I love Jesus.
And speaking of like two prostitutes coming before the king, you have two of those women in Jesus's lineage. Tamar acted a prostitute to trick Judah.
Yes.
And then Rahab was most likely a prostitute in Jericho.
Okay. And they're proudly listed as matriarchs. Mamas, as matriarchs of King Jesus. So let's talk about Tamar because that's a whole interesting thing. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So Tamar, so none of us have ever heard of the lion of the tribe of Levi. None of us have ever heard of the lion of the tribe of Simeon. No one has ever heard of the lion of the tribe of who's the first one of the 12 sons?
Reuben.
Reuben. But we've all heard of the lion of the tribe of Judah, which means that God skipped the first and the second and a third bloodline of Jacob's sons and literally went over them and said, I want the Messiah to come through Judah's bloodline, which is pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's pretty crazy.
Okay. So you're like, it's not supposed to work like that. But I want to tell you, it works like that a lot. It's
it
like,
does.
Especially when it comes to the second son. Like, you know, Jacob is not the firstborn. You know, he's the second son. Mm-hmm. You can go through, you know, Isaac is not the first son. Ishmael is the first son. But again, the bloodline of the Messiah is going through. It's like this. It's like the word of God is perfect. The Messiah will be born. But he jumps through lots of hoops of humanity and leaves lots of things up to us. And in the midst of our humanity, he weaves his will and his word into all of the different layers of humanity that all of us have. Okay, so Tamar is during this time, mind you, this is during the setting of Joseph has been sold off to slavery. Mm-hmm. And Judah was a active participant in that mess, and all the brothers were. They throw him down into the pit. The pit doesn't kill him. They wait for him to die. He doesn't die. Apparently, he's not even badly injured, and that surprised them. And they're like, we thought this would be over with, and now we've listened to him cry all night long, and we're sitting here listening to him like, man, this is terrible. And Simeon and Levi are just like, no, he's got to die. So what do? Well, you probably rain stones down on him. You probably do that. And it's like, no, how can we go back? Listen, it's one thing if Joseph dies, okay? Mm-hmm. It's another thing if we personally kill him. God's watching all this, and we can't do this. And Judah is the one that actually says, look, look, look. And then here comes Ishmaelites. So that means, I want you to understand that these are their cousins, okay? Because one step above them is Jacob, right? And one step above them is Isaac. So these are literally second and third generation cousins, the Ishmaelites are, that come from Ishmael. And they show up like, hey, cousin, what you doing? Oh, man, we're on our way down to Egypt. What you gonna go down there for? Well, man, we got these slaves and we're gonna take slaves down here. I got one more for you. Bring him up. And he bring him up. He's like, thanks. Thank you, man, for bringing me up. And I'm like, don't thank us. They turn him over to Egypt. Mm-hmm. Off he goes to be a slave in Egypt. Then they go back and they tell their daddy, look, we found his coat of many colors. They pour blood all of it. They ripped it to pieces. And they're like, something must have just tore him to pieces. There's not even a body left. And then they saw the horror that came upon Jacob. And it was unlike anything that they imagined. Mm. And yeah, what?
I think that was for a lot of reasons. Obviously, you know, Joseph was his favorite, but Jacob was a trickster. He was a shyster his whole life. And I know probably in that moment he thought, it's all caught up with me. Mm. All of the deception I've done my whole life, it's now caught up with me. I thought I was past that.
Wow.
And I think probably so the double whammy for him as he lost his favorite son, because that was his favorite wife's son. But also just that dread that you have of one day it's going to catch up with me, and him just going, dude, it caught up with me, and it was through my son.
Oh, wow. My God. Wow. And how much he loved him.
Oh, he loved him.
And he's like, oh, no. And he changes. Mm-hmm. And they see the change in their dad, and they love and respect their dad, and they just can't live with it. It's just a horror fest. It's just a horror fest that goes on for another 20 years. So it's in the midst of that, towards the end of that, that Judah goes to his dad and says, Dad, listen, you know that I've lost all these sons myself. You've been through the grief of losing a son. I have been through the grief of losing several sons. And you know that Judah thought, I deserved it. Mm-hmm. I went along with it. I went along. Wow. I went along with him being gone. I was a part of that. Now he's been dead. He lived as a slave, and the Egyptians always kill their slaves. Mm-hmm. He's dead by now, and he was a slave, and he's gone. And he sits down, and he goes, I've got to end. There is an active curse that is in my house. And like, well, what is it? He says, well, I brought this girl in, and her name's Tamar, and she married my oldest son. And they consummated the marriage, and she didn't get pregnant, and it wasn't very long after that that he died. So the rule says that the wives go to the next brother. Mm-hmm. And so apparently she was good looking, so they're fine with that. He goes in, he consummates the marriage. And then, but the Bible specifically says he would not allow her to become pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then after a little while, he dies. And then she goes to a third brother, and the third brother dies. And he's like, I don't know what to do with this cat.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to give her to any more of my sons. My sons are dying like flies. She obviously is the problem, and I don't know what to do about it.
Wow.
And so he's like, well, I don't know. My counsel is, you know, you just put her aside. Let her live here. Let her live there. So he tells her, okay, here's the deal. You're never going to be married. You're never going to have a heritage. You apparently are a curse. You are a problem.
Wait, what he does is kind of like what a trickster thing, like his dad, mm-hmm. Jacob, because he tells her
family line.
Yeah. He's like, oh no, wait, you go back to your dad's house. And when my third son grows up, then I'll let you marry him.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And so it's like, okay, but he has no intention, of turning her over to the third son.
Wow.
So she's smart enough to know this. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's been under
his
roof. Right. That's exactly right. She's been under his roof. She's lived in the same tents with him. She's watched him. She knows how he acts. And she also knows he knows where she goes. She knows where he goes. And mm-hmm. she also knows how that brother is. Mm-hmm. And so she goes and she dresses up as a prostitute, which includes a veil over her face. Mm. And she sets up a little tent on the side of the road and waits for him to come by. Mm-hmm. And he comes by and she says, hey, sailor, you want to do some business? And he goes, well, I would, but I ain't got no money. She goes, you don't need any money. Just here's the deal. You can give me the staff of your tribe, mm-hmm. which was what she was after. She wanted mm-hmm. to be the bloodline. Wow. Right. Mm-hmm. And that the picture of that is the staff. Mm-hmm. She's like, you give me the staff of your tribe and I'll hang on to it for a little while until you got time to go back and get money. He said, okay, let's go in the tent and we'll do business. Again, ancient Middle East, rugged is all get out. I'm talking about terrible. So after this is all over with, he comes back a couple of days later to receive his staff and to pay the money, and she's gone. Mm-hmm. Then she comes showing up, I don't know, a few months later, mm-hmm. and she says, hey, I need a place to stay, and I'm not doing well with my family. He says, why not? She says, well, I'm pregnant. So he goes, okay. So now he goes back to his dad, and he asks his dad, Dad, I need your blessing to murder this girl, because by right, she belongs to my third son, which he was the one who said she didn't belong to his third son. And he was the bad guy in this situation, and now she's pregnant. And it certainly wasn't my third son, because he ain't grown up yet. So that means she's an adulterer, and that means she needs to be put to death. And he's like, well, don't you like this girl? You know, I mean, she lived here and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, no, man, listen, I need to put her to death. All my sons died because of her. Mm. And now we have a legal right to put her to death. He says, okay. So he goes and gives, and Jacob says, all right, those are the rules. Go put her to death then. So they get ready to go put her to death. And she says, well, before, he said, is it true that you're pregnant? And she said, yes, it's true that I'm pregnant. And he goes, okay, well, you know the rules. You're going to die. And she said, okay, I know the rules. And he said, do you have anything else to say? And she said, yeah, the father of my child left this staff in my tent.
Mm.
At that time, right then, Joseph,
wow.
I can imagine it was like a brick hit him on top of the head, or somebody dumped a bunch of ice on him. Mm-hmm. And that brother, right then and right there, could have said, no, you do not. You be put to death. And instantly, all the injustice and the murder and the mayhem that he had ever been a part of, he saw her and he went, she hasn't done one thing wrong. I am the monster in this thing.
Wow.
And I don't know what kind of a move of God happened with Judah, but he came out and said, this woman has done nothing wrong. This is actually my child. I am the adulterer here. I repent. I want to bring her into my tent. She's going to live with me. Her child is my child, and I am sorry. And everybody's like, wow, whoa. Do you know that the breakthrough of Joseph being discovered and the famine and them did not happen until that happened?
Whoa.
That was the breakthrough that had to happen.
And she had twins, and one of their names is called Breakthrough. Because I think he like grabbed his brother back in and came out first.
Yes. Yes. So and good. that same thing through that bloodline happened with David whenever Nathan confronted him and said, hey, you're the one. You're the one.
And he said, you're right.
Here.
I am the one, and I am sorry.
But it's repentance. It's not just the mayhem that they cause, but it's a heart is what the Lord's looking for. He doesn't care about your mess. He cares about your heart. And you can look through all of the history through the Bible, and it doesn't matter how educated these people were. It didn't matter if they were prostitutes or if they were kings. It didn't matter to him what their lifestyle was. It was what was their heart. Mm-hmm. Wow. Because life was hard back then. I mean, you didn't have a lot of choices, especially women didn't have choices. Yeah. It's kind of like in some countries that we go to now, it's a caste system thing. And if you're in that caste, if you're born, they don't give you an option. Yeah. This is who you are. And you don't get to pick your identity and your occupation in some of those castes. And that might have been, you know, their case is they didn't have the options.
Those two little girls we rescued last week are prostitutes. And they have, I promise you, there is not a 13-year-old on the face of planet Earth that wants to be a prostitute.
Mm-mm. No.
There's no little girl in the world that says, when I grow up, I want to be a porn star. Mm-mm. When I grow up, I want to... There is no girl on the planet Earth that wants that to happen. And then things happen. And I'm telling you right now, he saw that this woman was innocent, that he was the deceiver. And he could have said, you tricked me. He didn't do it.
Mm-mm. Or he could have said, you still played the role of a prostitute.
That's exactly right. You acted like you're a prostitute. Mm-hmm. And she's like, my life is in your hands. Mm-hmm. And he flipped on a dime and brought his deceit and his evil and all of his mess in front of everybody and said, I have sinned before the Lord and I am so sorry. I'm so messed up. So now there was one thing left for Judah to deal with, and it was what they had done to Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And so he couldn't betray his brothers. He couldn't, he had the blessing of his father. He couldn't bring it to his father. And I want to just tell you, I think a big part of the rediscovery of Joseph, Joseph rising to become a guy that the Egyptians called Zephaniah-Paneah. I love that name, Zephaniah-Paneah, which means the savior of the world. And for him to be in charge of all of Egypt and to be the most powerful man on the planet Earth and all that kind of stuff, when they came into out of desperation to Egypt and he saw him, I don't think that any of that would have happened had there not been a breakthrough with Judah, because it wasn't going to happen with Reuben. It certainly wasn't going to happen with Simeon and Levi.
No, they
those guys were bad. They were bad guys. And it wasn't going to happen with them. It happened with Judah. And so the bottom line is this. When Jesus was born, he was born of the bloodline of that brave woman who was put into situation after situation and situation beyond her control at the mercy of evil and selfish men who said, there is a significance I have in the role of this family and I'm going to fight for it. God Almighty saw that and blessed it. And Jesus literally goes through that woman's blood.
Yeah. Mm.
That's crazy cool.
That's
well, guys. Wow. Man, welcome. Everybody that's tuned in late here today. Yes. Everybody that's tuned in late here today, guys. I'm here with my beautiful bride, Leanna Brewer.
Hello.
I'm here with these two troublemaking girls sitting across the table here from me, Miss Connie and Miss Rebecca, and we're talking about the bloodline of King Jesus and the ministry of the mamas ahead of King Jesus. And we just now got through talking about
the first, Tamar.
Tamar. Just now got through talking about her and her amazing supernatural wisdom that she had and making sure that the bloodline went through her. Mm-hmm. And because of that, Jesus skips the first three brothers and goes through Tamar and Judah. Wow. That's craziness.
She saw the value of it, kind of like how Jacob saw the value of the inheritance instead of Esau.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah. And she, because she was willing to fight for it, because she wanted it, the Lord was like, yeah, I'm going to honor this. You know, I'll honor my bloodline through her. And it's, I just love how he brings redemption to all these horrible situations, because reading through these, I'm just like, gosh. This is a lot. This is rough.
A lot.
It is a lot. No, the humanity of it is brutal. Mm-hmm. It's so brutal. And so again, the more we learn about this stuff, the less afraid we should be to bring our humanity and the layers of our families and all the mess and all the stuff before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm crying out and I'm seeking your blessing. You don't have to be ashamed of the mess that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you really and truly do not. I mean, he's like, oh, yeah, no, I've seen that train wreck about 10 million times today and every day for the past 6,000 years. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I'm looking for someone who is after me.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Speaking of someone after the Lord, I love studying about Rahab, who I think is next.
Yes.
But she completely grew up in a Canaanite religion. She's in Jericho. She's a prostitute. Yet she saw the hand of the Lord on behalf of the Hebrew people. And when the spies came, she was like, look, my people, we know that your God is real. We see his power. But she made a personal decision to hide the spies. And then for second to say, no, I'm going to choose Yahweh. I'm going to align myself with this people, which are not my people. I'm going to align myself with this God, which is not my God. And she, through that, she saved her entire household.
Wow.
And I'm just like, wow. I can't imagine the position she was in. There's these two strange men that are warriors. They're you know, from a foreign nation that's coming to invade your nation, your people. You know that they're going to win because you've seen what the Lord has done for them. So you know that you are already in a place of just like you are the disadvantage in this place. But you're still holding out hope like, wait. But I think that your God is good. Amen. And I think that if I get with his program, if I declare my loyalty, then he'll accept me. Even though I'm a foreign woman, even though I'm a prostitute, the Lord's going to accept me. He's going to bring me into his family. Amen. And through that, I'll be able to preserve my whole my bloodline. And that made me think of that scripture where I think, I can't remember, it's in the New Testament, but I think it's Peter who is saying to a Roman, like, hey, you get saved and your mm-hmm. entire household mm-hmm. will be saved. Your entire mm-hmm. household will be preserved. Mm-hmm. And that's what Rahab did in the Old Testament. And now wow. she's a part of the bloodline of King Jesus.
So good.
Just like, oh my gosh.
So good.
And all of these women in the bloodline have every right to say, I'm a victim of mm-hmm. these circumstances. I'm a victim of, not one of them does that. Not mm-hmm. one of them comes before the king and says, I'm a victim of the, no, they all come before him with humility, and he cannot resist a humble heart. He can't. He's not looking for our excuses of why we're, you know, have the shame or the guilt or whatever. He's looking for women that have a heart that say, I'm going to humble myself before you because Amen. You're God.
Wow.
You are God and you're a good God. And so many times people forget he's a good God. Mm-hmm. The world around us isn't so good.
Right.
The people around us are going to let us down. We're going to let ourselves down. And mm-hmm. there's going to be pain and shame and all of those things. But he's a good God nonetheless. And to be able to recognize his goodness and his love and his righteousness in the midst of all of humanity, he can't resist it. He's like, that's who I want to use. That's who I want to be my legacy. I want to be born through that.
Yeah.
And I love that.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. And it's never ending. So it's very encouraging to me because I've got a little bit of mess to bring before the Lord, just a little bit, not a whole bunch.
Not too much.
Right on. But no, I actually do. I mean, I'm a mess. We're all a mess in the situations that we have in life. You know, even her sign, it's like, please don't forget not to kill me. And here's what I'm going to hang out. A scarlet cord. What mm-hmm. is that? Mm-hmm. That's the attire of prostitutes. Oh. The red dress. She's going to put it out there. It's like, you can't hope for redemption and mercy in holding out lingerie. You can't do that. You're going to be killed. That's what you're going to do. Yet, what?
Whatever you have in your hand.
That's whatever you have in your
hand. Whatever you have in your hand.
This
that's
is all
what she
have.
Had.
That was exactly what she had. The same thing with Mary when she came busting in.
Yes.
And she broke her alabaster box. Yeah, that was an instrument of prostitution is what that was. And it was full of oil, which is also used in prostitution. And then she let down her hair, which you only did that if you were a prostitute. And she wept over him. And she washed his feet. Yeah. And he said, leave her alone. This is all she knows to do. And there's nothing unholy about this. She has brought everything and the very best she has for me in a holy way. And as long as I preach this gospel, I'm going to make everybody remember this, which means prioritize this story in the midst of all of the other stories. Well, let that be a good word for you today. Wherever you're at and whatever you're going through, do not keep yourself from coming before the king because of your mess. All of these mamas that the Bible proudly proclaims as the ministry of motherhood in the bloodline of King Jesus, we're in terrible messes, and yet we honor them today. Well, guys, I want to say it's so good to have Miss Leanna Brewer here with me.
Thank you.
It's you're trying not here. To cry right now.
I'm crying.
I love Jesus. Yeah. I love his goodness. I love his redemption. I love that he takes what is stinky and yucky and worthless and just the worst things that we have, and he turns it into something so beautiful.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
He just does. He's so good.
Candace and Karen Rogers and Candace Hart and Carrie, bless you so much. Robin, so happy to see you. He is so loving and he is so gracious. Robin says she's crying.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not, for the record, I'm not. I want to tell you, last week I was in my barn, and it's such a manly place, man. Such a manly place. And I was having a heart-to-heart talk with Ron Cantor, and his girls were in there with us. And we had the TV on, and we were talking, and we were all shooting a bull. And he started sharing his heart with his girls. He started crying. I said, stop it. I said, stop it. This is a manly place, and that's like the abomination of desolation for a grown man to be crying in here. And all the girls started making fun of him. We all started making fun of him. And again, everything's situation normal. I berate my friends.
No, spending a week with them and hearing their stories, you couldn't help but cry.
Oh, yeah. No, no, man. And we're going to continue to stand with them, and we love them. Guys, I'm so sorry that everybody can't get on to ODX today and see everybody here saying, hey, man, we're trying to get on. I don't know what happened. And our teams are working on it, and we'll continue to work on that. I'm glad, though, that you guys stayed with me today and that y'all stayed with me. I hope and pray that you'll stand with me in this new $400,000 bill that I just said yes to in rescuing all of these kids that we have now the ability to rescue, including these kids that are sitting in a jail cell. So you can see this white background here and where they're at, and there's a whole bunch of kids there. Yeah, all of those kids, we've actually rescued them from prostitution, but there's no place to put them, so they all actually live in the jail, including those 13 and 14-year-old mama girls over there to the right. And all those boys, we have a home for them. We're getting it into compliance, and it costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I want to say that within the past week since I've been announcing this, we had one $100,000 giver.
Yay. Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm like, praise the name of King Jesus. And that will actually get us into compliance on that one building right there. And then we've had several $10,000 givers. And all of that, guys, is going towards all this. Because now, guys, I got to feed these kids. I got to clean these kids up. I got to love them. And I got to hire the staffs to be able to take care of them. This being our fifth rescue home that is in compliance with the government in the nation of Mexico. Amen. Just those five. And that's 21 rescue centers we have. And that's five that are in Mexico. And if you're like, amazing, I don't know why we should do such a big work in Mexico, because 62% of all child pornography in the world that is being viewed today, and it's being viewed by millions of people, millions and millions of minutes of children in child pornography, 62% of that is filmed in Mexico. If you can make a difference fighting pornography and trafficking in Mexico, you make a difference throughout the entire planet Earth.
It makes a big difference.
And a way you can make a difference with that is if you're addicted to it and you're watching, even if you say, I'm not addicted, it's just occasionally stop it. Even if you say it's not child, no, it is. It is. Those kids, those people were kids at one time, and it started with them as kids. It's not innocent. Troy always says, you're watching a car accident happen in front of you. And you're participating in it, and you're funding it. Even if you don't spend any money that you think of, it's getting money from it, from all of the sources that come to it. So you can stop this. Even if you don't have money to send in, you can stop watching it. You can stop participating in it. And you can start being an advocate against it. And that really does make a difference.
For everybody that's watching us all over the world right now, you watch us on YouTube or you watch us on Facebook or whatever, typically 30 minutes ago, we would have gone behind the veil and that'd be exclusive to ODX, but something's wrong with the servers or the site today on ODX, and we're working hard to get all that fixed. And so if you're like, hey, man, I wish I could watch this all the time, you can. Please join us at ODX.TV. And today, I think, is the first time it's ever been down, ever. So it's very rare that this thing goes down.
Correct.
And I've never known it to go down before. So something big is going on, and that's okay. We have great teams of people that's working on it. And then you sign up for either stage two or you sign up for stage three. And
there's a bundle.
There's a bundle. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of crazy stuff, guys. If you will do that, another thing too that's going to happen is when we have our ODX gatherings, which is a weekend gathering, the Saturday morning starts off with a food bank, and then in the afternoon, if you're stage two or if you're stage three, I got a free lunch. It's exclusive to all those people, and it is a nice lunch. And then we spend the afternoon together. I walk everybody through the church. I give everybody the grand tour, and then I show everybody things that we're involved in that's behind the scenes that nobody else knows about. And then that night, everybody crashes, and then the next day we get up and everybody comes to Open Door Church. Our next ODX weekend, Rebecca, is going to be on the 15th of June. And you can sign up for that, but ODX is down right now, so you can call us, and the first 150 people that sign up for it, and it's got to be, you got to be stage two or stage three person, and it's an exclusive weekend. You'll just spend a whole lot of time with Leanna and me.
Yeah. So again, if you would like to give towards the 400K, you can. Anybody that gives $55 or more gets this amazing bundle of Redeeming Your Timeline. They're beautiful. It's a great coffee table book also, but also breakthrough declarations for throughout the week. So again, if you get $50 or more, correct, Connie, right?
Yes.
You will
55.
Be 55 or more. You get this wonderful Timelight bundle. Call us at 877-413-0888, or you could give online on odx.tv. If you can't do either, you can mail to Troy Brewer Ministries, P.O. Box 3775, Burleson, Texas, 76097. And again, if you sign up today and become a stage two or three, you will receive a wonderful bundle from odx.tv. And when you join, don't forget to click. There is a red button called the Prophetic Pulse. That's where you click to join and see odx.tv. Is there any more announcements?
I don't think so.
That's good.
I don't know, man. Tomorrow, what are we doing tomorrow?
Sorry.
God. Train wreck.
That's awesome.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's like tornado blowing through.
I love you, Connie.
No, Rebecca, you did awesome. You hit all the announcements. Okay. Oh, but tomorrow we are talking about some really, really awesome points from your Atomic Bible study.
Oh,
really? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was so good. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Which one? Which one was
the last one on the, from the 12th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was on John chapter 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right on. Yeah, I'll be doing that again on Wednesday night. We'll be getting into John chapter 3. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's outstanding. All right, well, guys, join us tomorrow at this same time on this same channel. And guys, don't forget to call us if you need a friend or if you need prayer or if you want to stand with us. You can call 877-413-0888. Guys, it's great to have Miss Connie here with us today. It's great to have Miss Rebecca here with us. Ben is over there on the couch working through some major malfunction on ODX.TV. Yeah.
We are working on it, guys.
Okay, man. You guys will figure it out. It's all good. And then I want to say a great big thank you to Taylor in the booth and the crow's nest in there. Thank you. And then Leanna.
You're so
thank you.
What a great blessing to have you with me today.
Thank you.
I've been in meetings with you all day today.
I know.
We did job interviews this morning. Then we had the pastor's meeting.
Am I hired?
And then now we've done this together. Yes. It's going to be great. And we're about to go get our vitamin shots together.
We are. And then we have two more meetings.
Okay. And I'll be hooked up to an IV here having my next I'm like, you know, Mick Jones. I'm sorry. I'm like Mick, you know, and
Jagger. Gosh,
yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm like Mick Jagger backstage of the Rolling Stones, you know, in between meetings, just hit me. And so today's time for my B12. It's coming in, guys.
Yes.
Well, we got to get home sometime because you have a baby deer running around out in the woods somewhere, and we got to go see if we can find him.
We got to make sure mama's taking care of it.
Okay, guys, God bless you so much. I love y'all. Until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.